Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a rag-infused breakbeat approach for drum and bass and jungle inside Ableton Live 12, with a very specific goal in mind: controlled chaos. And that's the key phrase here. We are not just randomly slicing a break and praying it turns into magic. We're designing movement, pressure, and attitude in a way that still survives the realities of mastering. So as we go, keep thinking about transient consistency, low-end stability, stereo discipline, and headroom. If it sounds wild but falls apart in mono, or gets smeared when you push the level, it's not really working yet. Let's start with the session setup. Set your tempo to 172 BPM. That's a very comfortable sweet spot for this kind of drum and bass energy. Keep the project in 4/4, and before you do anything fancy, make sure your master is not clipping. In fact, give yourself some space. A good target is to let the master peak around -6 dB before final limiting. That gives you room to shape the track later without fighting the mix. Now build a simple track layout so the session stays organized. You want separate tracks for your main break, a break layer, a kick reinforce, a snare top, a rag a vocal chop track, a sub bass, a res or low mid bass, some effects or atmosphere, and then dedicated drum and bass buses before the master. That separation matters a lot if you want the groove to stay clean enough for mastering later. Next, choose your break. Pick something with character. You want a break that has a strong snare, some ghost notes, some hat movement, maybe a little room tone or grit. Classic Amen style breaks work beautifully for this. Funky drummer style material can also be great. Basically, you want a break that already feels alive. If it's too clean, it won't bring enough jungle attitude. If it's too busy, you'll have to edit more carefully. Drag the break into an audio track. Warp it only if you actually need to. And if you do warp it, don't overdo it. The more you force the break into a perfectly rigid grid, the more of its natural movement you lose. Keep warp markers minimal. Let the break breathe. Now comes the fun part. Right-click the audio clip and choose Slice to New MIDI Track. For this style, slicing by transient is usually the best first move. That gives you natural break cuts and keeps the original energy intact. Once the slices are mapped to a drum rack, you can start resequencing them in MIDI. Think of the break like a performance, not just a loop. Map the kickish slices into lower pads, the snare slices into a central area, and the hats and ghost notes into the upper range of the rack. That way the workflow stays intuitive when you start improvising. Now build your core groove with a 2-bar MIDI clip. The basic rhythmic anchor in jungle and drum and bass is still the snare on 2 and 4. But in a breakbeat-based groove, you're not simply programming straight drums on top of a break. You're reinforcing the break's natural motion and shaping it around the pocket. So start with a strong snare on beat 2. Then bring in a second snare articulation or a rim-like break hit on beat 4. Add kick slices around the start of the bar and in the early part of the phrase, but let the break's original flow guide you. Don't force every hit into a rigid pattern. Fill the gaps with ghost notes on offbeats and between the main accents. A good test here is whether the groove still feels like a performance. If it starts sounding like a looped grid exercise, back off and bring back some swing. Try keeping bar 1 a little more open and bar 2 a little more active. Then repeat with a subtle variation every 2 bars. That kind of small mutation is what keeps the loop from feeling static. Now let's inject the raga energy. This is where the personality comes alive. Raga-infused chaos usually comes from vocal stabs, answer phrases, syncopated repetition, and those short rude interruptions that make the groove feel like it's toffing back. Load a vocal phrase into simpler. A raga toast, a chopped shout, anything with attitude can work. Use slice mode if you want each part of the phrase accessible from the keyboard. Classic or one-shot play modes both work depending on how you want to trigger the chops. The main idea is to make the vocal feel rhythmic, not just decorative. Now process it like you mean it. Start with EQ 8 and high pass the low end, somewhere around 120 to 180 Hz. If the vocal gets muddy, cut a little around 250 to 400 Hz. Then add saturator with a little drive and soft clip turned on. That gives the vocal some edge and helps it sit in the mix. Auto filter is great for movement, especially if you want the vocal to sweep in and out of the groove. And a short dub style delay or echo throw can make the phrase feel bigger without crowding the main beat. For placement, think call and response. Put vocal chops on the end of a beat, or in the gaps between snare hits. A simple pattern might be a vocal stab on 1 and a response on 2.2. Then a pair of quick chops near the end of the bar, followed by silence. That silence matters. In a heavy track, the absence of sound can hit harder than more layers. Micro dropouts are a huge part of the tension. Now let's tighten the brake with some bus processing. Route all your brake elements into a drum bus group. On that bus, start with EQ8. High pass around 25 to 30 HC to clear out unusable sub-rumble. If the brake is boxy, you can make a small cut around 250 to 350 HC. After that, add drum bus. Use it for density, not destruction. A little drive, a little crunch, maybe a touch of transient emphasis if needed. But be careful with boom. In drum and bass, especially if your sub is doing its own job, too much boom can clutter the low end fast. Then add glue compressor if the brake needs to feel more unified. Keep the settings gentle. A ratio around 2 to 1. Attack not too fast. Release sets so it breathes naturally, and only 1 or 2 dB of gain reduction. If you crush the bus too hard, you lose the snap that makes the whole rhythm hit. Use utility to check mono compatibility and, if necessary, narrow the bus slightly. The point is to make the drum sound aggressive and blued, but still alive. If the transient life disappears, the track will lose impact later on the master. Now reinforce the drums if needed. Sometimes a chopped brake has the right vibe, but not enough body or punch. In that case, layer in a clean kick sample under the brake. Keep it short and punchy. Use EQ8 to shape the fundamental if you need a bit more weight around 50 to 80 HE, and cut mud around 200 to 400 HE. Add very subtle saturation, and keep it mono with utility. Do the same for the snare if it needs more authority. The snare is the anchor in this kind of music, so protect it. If you start adding vocal chops, percussion, and extra brake layers, always check whether the snare still feels like the loudest rhythmic statement after the kick. If it doesn't, trim competing mid-range content before you reach for more compression. Often the fix is subtraction, not more processing. Now the bass. This is where a lot of people get into trouble, because the temptation is to make the bass huge and wide and constantly moving. But in this style, the break needs space. The drums are not just a rhythmic bed, they're part of the lead character. Build two bass layers. First, a sub bass. Keep it simple. A sine-like or clean sub from operator, wavetable, or analog works well. Keep it mono. Keep it clean. Let it follow the pocket created by the kick and snare, not every single break hit. Then create a res or low mid bass layer for movement and aggression. This is where you can get dirtier with wavetable, analog, roar, or saturator. Use some detune for width, but don't let the low end spread out too much. Carve out the very bottom so the sub has room, and use sidechain compression if needed to make space for the drums. You can sidechain not only from the kick, but also lightly from the snare if the bass is masking the groove in the midrange. Keep the sidechain subtle. The goal is room, not an overcooked pumping effect unless that's specifically the aesthetic you want. Now we can make the chaos feel intentional. Use automation to shape movement over time. Auto filter cutoff on the bass or vocals can bring tension and release. Echo feedback can explode briefly at the end of a phrase. Saturator drive can rise during a fill. Utility width can be narrowed or open to create contrast. Drum bus drive can be pushed a little harder in transition moments. A really strong trick is to introduce one change every 4 or 8 bars. That might be a reversed brake slice, a vocal stab, open hats, a half bar dropout, or a filter sweep on the bass. The track feels volatile, but the listener still understands the architecture. That's the whole game. When you arrange the section, think in phrases. A simple structure might go like this. First, a stripped introduction where the groove is hinted at with filtered drums and a vocal teaser. Then the full break groove comes in with sub bass. After that, add a second break layer or extra percussion so the energy rises. Finally, hit a peak section with more ghost notes, more grit, and maybe a brief breakdown or switch up at the end. But don't make everything dense all the time. Contrast is what makes the heavy moments feel heavy. A one-beat mute before the return can feel bigger than a whole fill if the bar before it is already active. Short dropouts, trim tails, and those little missing moments create danger. Once the groove is working, resample it. Create an audio track set to resampling and record 4 or 8 bars of your drum, bass, and vocal interaction. Then chop the best moments. Reverse a hit. Pull a fill into the front of a phrase. Use the resampled audio as a new layer. This is one of the best ways to get that hybrid jungle feeling, where the groove sounds both programmed and alive at the same time. And now, because this lesson is mastering aware, we need to talk about the master chain carefully. Do not try to master your way into a good arrangement. That's the wrong order. Keep the master bus clean while you're building. When the mix is ready, a simple master chain can be used for monitoring and gentle control. A tiny corrective EQ move, light glue compressor action, subtle saturation, utility for width checks, a limiter only as a safety ceiling, and spectrum for visual reference. That's enough. What you do not want is a master chain that is doing all the heavy lifting, while the mix itself is unstable. If the track is already clipping before limiting, pull everything down and fix the balance. Drum and bass needs impact, not accidental distortion. A few common mistakes to watch for. Don't overslice the break so much that the original groove disappears. Don't leave too much low end in the break if the sub is already handling that area. Don't make the bass wider than it should be, because club translation will suffer. Don't overcompress the drum bus until the break loses snap. And don't let vocal chops fight the snare. If the two are landing on top of each other, the groove can feel cluttered very quickly.